is the Milwaukee Intergroup, joining OA in May of 1974. Nancy celebrates with us the 51st year in her beloved fellowship. Fifty-one years. She's been recording her food since 2019. I'm busy, higher power. Didn't somebody read to turn off your cell phone? I just did that for effect. Anyway, let's get back to the seriousness. She's been recording her food since 2019, but experienced absence long before that. In addition to sponsorship and many service positions, Nancy has served as a Region 5 trustee, as well as keynote speaker for other conventions. Here to share her experience, strength, and hope with us on steps 3 and 11 and their principles, faith and spiritual awareness, please help me welcome Nancy H.
Good morning, and welcome to Wisconsin. And thank you, the committee, for asking me to speak this morning. I wanted to set my timer so I don't forget. And I'm not real adept at this. My name is Nancy, and I am a compulsive overeater. I still remember May 14th, 1974, walking into my home from work. That year, I had made my usual annual New Year's resolution to lose weight. That year, I got sick. So I never knew whether to feed a cold, starve a fever. I fed everything. April 1st, always the first of the month, the first of the Monday or whatever, I decided to go on Weight Watchers. Well, Weight Watchers at that time was $2.50 a week, and I was not going to let anyone get rich over my fat. So I got a copy of their program from someone at work, made a copy, offered it to the woman who was doing childcare for me, and she said, thanked me, because, you know, it's fun to go on something with a friend. So she thanked me and said no, she had found something better. She was going to OA. It taught you how to live your life. And I thought to myself, I don't need to know how to live my life. I just need to lose weight. May 14th, I come home from work. I've been following Weight Watchers perfectly, even eating liver once a week. And I walked in the door, grabbed some cookies that I had made for the boys, stand in my kitchen crying, wondering what's wrong with me and not being able to stop. And that day I went to a meeting at school and a neighbor lady said, we're starting an OA meeting. It's going to be at my house tomorrow night. Do you want to come? And I went, and I've been here ever since. Probably, I'm thinking, it's hard to remember, 40 years ago or so, I was visiting some friends in Arizona, and a woman that I knew, I went to her meeting, and she was celebrating an anniversary. And she shared about having 19 years of imperfect abstinence. And that has stuck with me all these years, because my abstinence hasn't been perfect. God forbid. But it has been something that I have worked at for these past 51 years. I'm supposed to be talking this morning about steps 3 and 11, a couple of my favorites. Another favorite is 12, because it encompasses all the previous 11. But the principles behind these two are faith for step 3 and spiritual awakening for step 11. And one of the things I truly believe is that I'm only here and I'm only abstinent today by the grace of God. And I like the definition of grace. It's when God gives us what we don't deserve. And I also believe I have God's mercy. And that is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. You know, my progress through the years over the has been shaky at the best. One of the things I did is, prior to walking in my first meeting, I had made the decision to get a divorce. I was married to a practicing alcoholic, which I didn't know he was, because I didn't know what an alcoholic was. And it was probably April 15th, because I always have and probably will continue to procrastinate on doing my taxes. And he had told me that we probably should have taken them to a professional, because I was so stupid, I probably did them wrong. And at that point, you know, that was like the straw that broke the camel's back. But I was still, I was filled with fear. And I didn't know, you know, how am I going to survive? I have two boys. And those, but I heard something at that first meeting I went to. No one said it, but I heard it. God will take care of you. And I truly believe he has. I made that decision to see an attorney, start the divorce process. June, I got a $300 a month raise at work because they settled a lawsuit. God took care of me. I didn't know that was going on. So I continued, you know, in my OA. It would have probably been January or something. We had heard of an event that was, well, we went to one before in St. Louis, Missouri. No, it wasn't St. Louis. It was Kansas City, Missouri. And I made a wrong turn in St. Louis on the way there. But there were, I think there were six of us that went, and we were, you know, we had marathons at that time, and, you know, we probably stayed up almost all night, you know, and it was, but one of the things we heard about, well, I heard of a lot of things there, but one of the things was that we found out about an event that was going on in Minneapolis. And so we piled in the car again, and off we went to Minneapolis. And there, at that time, we were all very new, and we usually got AA speakers to come in and talk on the steps. And so there was this old guy, probably younger than me now, but there was this old guy that talked on step 3. And one of the stories he told, which has stuck in my head all these years, the step says, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And he talked about making a decision to buy a car. And that's something I'm going to have to think about pretty soon. But anyway, you made a decision. Well, making that decision to buy a car doesn't put a car in your driveway. You have to take some action. And I've always remembered that story. And it has, you know, helped me so much, you know, because we have this program. And I like the we of the program, and which is the first word of the first step, one of the most important words, because I certainly can't do this alone. Anyway, one of the things, you know, it talks about, you know, with our third step, I love it, on page 63 in the big book, it says, we were now at step three. Many of us said to our Maker, as we understood him, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them will bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. And I love that prayer. It's something I use every morning. In 1996, I was diagnosed as a diabetic. I think the way I ate prior to that point had really kept me just in where I should be. But stress is one thing that will take you over the edge. And that year, in May, I got a notice that they were going to be reorganizing in the company I work for, and that everyone was going to have to apply for a job. In July, my mother had a stroke. By August, we knew that she wasn't going to ever be able to go home again. In August, they were interviewing for jobs at my level. And they didn't even humor me with an interview. So needless to say, the day before they were going to announce who had jobs, I had a doctor appointment. And guess what? You know, he diagnosed me as being diabetic. So one of the things I really work at today is, you know, maintaining that. But with step three, you know, I have in my insulin box this card and with the third and seventh step prayers on them, and so I say those in the morning. And it's a good way to start the day. And then when we go to, you know, sometimes, you know, they say, you know, having made a decision, how do you know you make, how do you do that? I don't know. You need to just do. You know, it's like the old story. There were three frogs on a log. One made a decision to jump in. How many frogs are on the log? Three. Because he just made the decision. He didn't jump in. You know, so we have to make that decision that we are powerless over food. And, you know, one of the things I remember, it was when we were working on it. I was on the conference literature committee at the time, and we were working on a draft of the 12 steps for the 12 and 12. And as we were reading, and it was a draft written by an author that wasn't the author that wrote the one that eventually came out. But when we got to the reading on the third step, I thought to my, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Nancy, you never turned your food over to God. I had been trying to control it myself. And I found I couldn't control it myself. I had to ask the help of my higher power every day to help me stay abstinent one meal at a time. And then we go to the 11th step, jumping way ahead over a lot of stuff that's good work that they have to do to get to that point. Step 11, it says in the big book, suggests prayer and meditation. And to me, that is such an important thing. I remember many years ago, I took a meditation course because I thought, you should learn how to meditate. I found I fell asleep. And one of the things that I do is I attend silent retreats. And I've done that. One of the priests that used to be there, when someone would have significant amounts of retreats, he'd say, and she shows no noticeable sign of improvement. Well, I've been to 70, and they haven't shown any sign of improvement. But I have learned a lot of stuff. And it has really helped me in meditation, because different speakers over the course of those retreats have talked about different ways to meditate. And one that has stuck with me and that helps is to visualize some scene that you really, you know, think is beautiful. It could, maybe it's a picture, whatever it is, it's something to concentrate on that. And when your mind is concentrating on that scene, it can't be doing all the other crazy things that are going through. It's sort of occupied. And so it allows me to get into a state of being, you know, to listen. And that's what's important. You know, I love just a favorite. If I had a favorite place to live, it would be somewhere where I could see water and mountains. And just be able to sit somewhere and rock in a swing and see water and fountains. It would be wonderful. Of course, I couldn't afford it, but it would be wonderful. But in the big book, it talks about our day. It says when we retire at night, we constructively review our day. And I do that. When I go to bed at night, I start out by thanking God for today. And then I go on to review what happened today from the time I got up until the time I went to bed. And you know, it says in here that, you know, you should ask yourself, was there something I should have done different? Is there something I need to make amends for? You know, and it goes on. So it says here, after making our review, we ask God's forgiveness, inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And it goes on then to say, on awakening, let us think of the 24 hours ahead. You know, I ask God, you know, it says we ask God to direct our thinking. And one of the things I heard a speaker say at a conference I was at was, in that quiet moment, a moment of silence before the start of a meeting, you know, just to ask God, let me hear what you want me to hear. Let me say what you want me to say. And, you know, that settles my mind more in helping God direct my thinking. So I'm not, you know, listening to everybody else, wondering what I should be saying. You know, don't worry about what I should be saying. Listen to what the other person is saying, because I've heard, you know, so much. You know, it goes on to say, here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. You know, And that I found is so important because, you know, if we're going to be struggling with something, we're fighting it. And for me, it's saying, I want my way. My way's better. And then it goes on to say, we usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, and that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. You know, and I've had many problems, and I've had many joys. I met my husband in this program. I think we were the first couple in the Milwaukee Intergroup that got married. Unfortunately, in 2012, he passed away. But we had about 34 years together before that, so that was wonderful. I had two boys from my first marriage. Brian, who would be 58 today, and Chris, who is 55. How did they get so old? You know, but it's really interesting because my younger son has, you know, all he's really known, because he was 4 years old when I came into this program. And all he really remembers is me being in a 12-step program. And then, you know, I got married, in 1978. And in 1981, I had made the decision that I needed to go to a program to fix him, because he had gone back to compulsive eating. Well, Onan didn't exist at that time, and I don't know if it's in existence anymore today, but I went to Al-Anon to fix him. Well, I learned I just needed to fix myself, you know. And then in 1983, at an region convention in, it was in Indiana, talking to a friend who had just come back from California. He had gone through treatment there and found out that, yes, Nancy, you're an alcoholic. And one of the things that happened at that point is there were several things that I had talked about in my inventory. You know, it talks, then after you do your fifth step, it talks in your sixth step, how we feel this release. Well, I didn't feel that release from those things. But the minute I admitted that I was an alcoholic, they all left, because I had never shared the part that I was drunk when I did every single one of those things. And so probably in 2010, I heard a speaker share that if you're not in three 12-step programs, you're probably in denial. And I thought, good, I'm not in denial. So I continue to go to all three programs today, which keeps you busy, which they say is good as you age. You should have social connections, so I figure. You know, and then when it's talking in the 11th step, it tells us as we go through our day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. And, you know, that is so helpful. I mean, I use the Serenity Prayer a lot, especially in traffic. You know, I don't know if you've heard, but the two hardest places to work your program is at home and on the freeway. One time I heard a speaker say that instead of using expletive deletes and hand gestures on the freeway, that he's started doing to say, God bless you. You know, just change my attitude. I mean, this whole program to me is a lot about changing attitudes. And we have to work it. You know, our 12th step says we practice these principles in all our affairs. You know, it means in all areas of our life. You know, in the past couple years, in 2020, my oldest son died. He was a smoker, small cell lung cancer. If you smoke, please quit. Luckily, in OA, most people don't smoke, but if you do, please quit. Vaping's worse, so don't. End of sermon. But anyway, from the day he called me to say, Mom, I'm sick, to the day he died, which is just over 5 weeks. And we had a lot of, some people think, you know, COVID was just awful. Well, COVID, the lockdown started when he was sick. So I had my calendar cleared. I had nothing except to spend time with my son. So I was with him when he died. And it was hard. And what was especially hard is you didn't have all your friends around. You know, one of my dear friends broke her quarantine and came, you know. I had asked him, you know, if I could use the same funeral home I had used for my husband. He said, well, none of my friends will drive out to Hartford. And he only lived about 22 miles away, so. Anyway, I said, well, Brian, nobody's going to be able to come. So we'll have a party at Ole's, which was his favorite bar. We'll have a party at Ole's when everything opens up. So that's what we did. Another thing was his favorite movie was The Big Lebowski. If you haven't seen it, watch it. But anyway, he said to me, there's a can of Folgers coffee in the refrigerator. Dump the grounds out and put me in there. If you haven't seen the movie, watch it. So that's what we did. When the American Legion came to do the ceremony at his celebration of life, they were wondering where his remains were, and we said, in the Folgers can. But this program got me through all those things. You know, in 1922, I had been in AFED for some time and went through a lot of things to try to get it stopped. And anyway, I ended up going through an open heart procedure. So I had open heart surgery and the day before Thanksgiving. Didn't have to worry about what to eat that year. And recovered from that. And then a year later, they had been watching some nodules in my lung. And so did a bronchoscopy, came back undetermined. Went in laparoscopically to, came back possible cancer. Removed the entire left lobe of my lung, upper left lobe. Came back normal thyroid tissue. Well, I'm rare. Doesn't happen too often, but it does happen. But none of my doctors that I have ever seen it. So I had a thyroid ultrasound. Said come back and do it again in a year, so I did. And it came back One nodule had grown a little, so they sent me for a thyroid biopsy. Came back undetermined. And so they sent it for molecular testing and came back with a 95% probability that it's cancer. So June 26th, I'm having a total thyroidectomy. So please pray for me and my doctors. You know, through all the things that we do, we can use this program. You know, my surgeries that I've gone through, I've always felt peace going into that operating room. Why did I have peace? I had peace because I knew that you were out there praying for me. And I am a firm believer that prayer works. Which is what the third and the 11th step is all about, prayer and meditation. You know, I've had a lot of things happen over the years, and this program has always, always gotten me through it, one day at a time. You know, I hope you'd keep coming back. I mean, there's been a lot of changes since I started coming. We didn't have cell phones. We just had landlines. We didn't have computers. We wrote letters. Our inner group has a newsletter, and I was, for a period of time, the newsletter editor, and I remember doing cut and paste. And we cut and paste everything to get the layout, and then we took it to the printer. You know, we have so many tools available to us today. You know, we have online meetings. You know, they were a godsend during COVID. But I prefer, and always will, face-to-face meetings. Because seeing all of your faces is the thing that's just so neat. You know, there are people in here that I know for many years. Some of you, I remember your name. Some of you, it might come back to me in a while. Some of you are new. And, you know, I remember, you know, many years ago, just knowing that I was going to be okay. And I just have to remember that. All I have is today. I may not do it perfectly, but I will do my best to do it according to my higher power's will. You know, I will always have to make that decision in the morning to turn my will and my life and my food over to my higher power. And I'll remember during the day to continue to pray for help, to understand maybe sometimes what's going on, saying maybe, God, I don't know what to do in this situation, please help me. But all I know is I have to keep coming back. You know, if there's one thing you can remember, whether I was doing good or doing bad over the years, I never, ever stopped coming back. I don't know if there's anyone around who was in OA when I started. Unfortunately, as we age, if you haven't done the math, I'm 80, and I didn't ever think I'd get to be 80 years old. But it's a good age to be. And hopefully I'll get to be a lot older, one day at a time. And I thank you for your attention and for listening.
I did that and texted an OAer, and she was kind of having her update too. We texted all through that, and I looked at the plate later, it was empty. So that was taken care of. And I was so grateful that I have all these friends everywhere that I can just get on the phone with or whatever and connect with you. And you understand immediately. I don't have to explain the whole thing to you. So grateful, grateful, grateful. And that helps me, too, to keep it simple. I'll pass.
Okay, sign. Okay, sign my. All right, I can do this. Okay. Paperwork. Okay, all right. Jerome, compulsive overeater, food addict. Yes, a couple things. Just two short things. You know, when I was at the table, and waiting, you know, and just listening to everyone, and waiting to, you know, if you know, for a chance to say something about the convention. And I just was, you know, listening to this, you know, all the voices kind of blended together. And it was just a beautiful experience, somewhat of a spiritual experience, to hear this, I don't know, symphony or whatever you want to call it, you know, of the unity that I felt at that particular time. But then the other thing I wanted to mention is that I was very privileged this morning. Thank you, Jean, for the opportunity to greet at the front door, the front entrance. And when I was out there at like, what was it, 7:30, was it? And everybody was, I'm sure, well, I'm going to say, I think a lot of people had slept in. you know, so I was out there and just sitting, you know, waiting for my first customer to come through the door. And there happened to be a gal that was sitting there, and we got talking. And she asked about the fellow. She asked about all these, you know. And so I had an opportunity to talk a little bit, you know, about the because she was inquiring about the fellowship and about this OA thing. And so I was able to share a little bit. And she said that. She was not, of course, you get it that she wasn't at the conference here, that she was just, you know, here. And she said that, I've had some issues with food, or I've had a problem with food, you know. And so it really, you know, it got me because, you know, it, higher power, I guess. That's all I wanted to say. 3 and 11. So, all right.
Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
Oh. Hi, my name is Ann CZ, and I know you that's knitting. I can't remember your name. John, okay, I was thinking it was something like that. John or Jan? Jan. Sorry. I can't read that well. All right, anyway, my name is Ann CZ. I'm a compulsive overeater, sugar addict, anorexic. Hi, everyone. I'm from the suburban area of Chicago, Illinois. And, you know, the other part of Milwaukee. you know, I woke up with a new attitude today, or a different attitude. I asked to have an open mind. Yesterday I was really tired and exhausted and falling asleep. And today I asked to have a positive attitude and an open mind, as my husband often tells me. And where's Nancy at? Nancy, your talk was awesome. I took so many notes, And I was just like, wow, blown away. I'll remember your surgery date. I have a surgery, not quite that severe, but I have a surgery that same day. And I just wanted to say that the talks and the comments have really reminded me why I come to OA. And I am, two, I'm in several fellowships, three now, and my husband thinks it's my hobby. And that's what I'm going to do when I retire, is just go to meetings. And there was someone that spoke last night, and she knows who she is because I'm looking at her. And I think because of her, back in the day, she kept encouraging me to just get up and talk and say what it was like and what was going on. And it was a meeting that I went to in Niles on Wednesday night in Chicago area. And we were supposed to only give positive pitches. And I would stand up there and say, I can't stop eating. I just can't stop eating. And she would say, get up there and talk about it. And at the end I would say, but I keep coming back. And I would call her on the phone a lot. And somehow I got abstinent, and I don't know how. And the sugar went first, and then the rest of the food followed like 4 years later. But this program works if I work it, if I want it, and if I do what I need to do, and if I follow the steps. And I just love the comments that the Nancy made about, we ask God to direct our thinking, let me hear what you want me to hear, say what you want me to say, and then I can listen to others. Because I always think that my comments aren't worthy. And every time people make a comment and say, thanks everyone for your comments, I got so much out of them, it's minimized, but their voice still goes, even mine. It's that low self-esteem, and I still struggle with that at times, and I'm hoping the third program will help, because it could be the key to, because it goes hand in hand with this program. And just the reminder that what they told me was that in my very first meeting almost 32 years ago was that this was the last house on the block. So I'm here to say you're stuck with me. Thanks.
Make it okay. Thank you. What's that? We're done?
Yeah.
We're done. Make it.
I'm not done yet.
Thank you. We're not done because I'm still on. Anyway, you're talking about surgeries. I had a hernia surgery some time ago. Surgical nurse came in and said, how are you doing? He said, do you have any questions? I said, no, you've been very competent. You've been very helpful to tell me what's going on. And I'm very well satisfied. Thank you. And she said, well, I'll see you on the other side. And then she said, no, I didn't mean that. I'll see you down the hall. See you down the hall. But anyway, you know, we had astronauts on the moon, right?
Yeah.
You probably don't know this. I didn't know it until just recently. They found a restaurant on the moon. Great food, no atmosphere. Anyway, so we've come to, what's that? Oh, that was good. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Time to close. Okay, yeah. You know what? Who was saying that I don't stick to the script anyway? Anyway, let's, we thank Nancy, and then I'm going to read this again just so everyone is clear and we have that, know what we're doing. You may purchase raffle tickets for the baskets and the 50-50 drawing until 5 p.m. tonight. Winners will be drawn and posted.